Welcome back, and thank you for your faithful giving that makes our support of organizations like Tree of Hope Haiti possible. Again, one of the best kept secrets here at Hope Chapel is that literally $13 out of every $100 that's given is used for ministry activity outside of Hope Chapel, and that's a great thing. So continue to celebrate that. And I want to continue our series that we've been in this summer called One Hit Wonders. And I want to take us back into the book of Proverbs today to deal with the whole idea of how do we live with wisdom. When God created relationships, we read about the creation of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. God created Adam, and he looks at Adam and he says, it's not good that man should be alone. And so in the midst of that, he creates Eve, and he creates community. He creates relationship. He creates family. But one of the byproducts of that is that God created peer pressure, that other people influence us. And I want to speak directly about that today. I want to offer some general counsel about how to live with wisdom in the midst of the world that's going crazy. But I also want to offer some specific guidance about how you and I can foolproof our lives in the midst of all this craziness by being able to discern the type of peer pressure that we're experiencing in our lives. And hey, listen, peer pressure is a powerful thing. It's powerful enough when I was a high school kid, right, that I actually used to wear leisure suits, the whole John Travolta thing and Saturday Night Fever, for those of you who were old enough to go back to those days, his whole kind of thing, that was going on, and wearing these leisure suits, the polyester things that you could wash in a washing machine, and wearing these flowery shirts with big collars that would go out over the jacket, et cetera. And a lot of us were wearing those. Why? Because of peer pressure. And peer pressure makes our challenge of living with wisdom in this day and age a lot harder. Because right now the world is going crazy. People are just energized and vocal, and things are different at home, things are different at work, things are different with school, and things are different medically and politically, and just everybody is so outspoken and putting pressure and wanting to pinhole us in certain places, and there's all this peer pressure that's pounding on us to get into some particular shape, and yet we are still in the midst of this challenge that God has always given to his people to live our lives with wisdom despite the fact of everything that's going on around us. So today I want to talk to us about foolproofing our lives when the world is going crazy. What does it take for you and I to foolproof our lives when the world is going crazy? And that's why I'm taking us back into the book of Proverbs today. We're doing a series called One Hit Wonders, and we're going to look at a second one hit wonder from the book of Proverbs related to this, because it's got so much to say to us today. And it is just this intense, ongoing appeal to us to live our lives with wisdom. Live our lives with wisdom in what we do and what we say. And we looked at some of that last week. To make wise choices and all the beliefs and decisions and that kind of thing that are behind all of that. And also to live our lives with wisdom related to the people that we allow to influence us, to exercise peer pressure on us, to have wisdom as we go about all those things. And there's truths for us to pull out related to all of that. So, I know you're at home. I'd love for you to grab a Bible and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is literally right in the middle of your Bibles. The book of Psalms is the biggest book in the Bible, and it's just after that. So for the most part, if you just kind of let it drop to the middle, you probably won't be very far from Proverbs. Again, you can always use the table of contents up front, and it'll take you right to the beginning of it, and then you'll be able to move around through the verses with us. And there's great power in doing that all today. And I want to bring some thoughts to us today from the book of Proverbs about how to foolproof our lives even though the world is going crazy. How to do that when the world is going crazy. And so here's the first point I really want to get across to you. If you and I are going to be people who live our lives in this moment with everything that's different, everything that feels different, everything that is different, if we're going to be people who live with wisdom right now, we have to start by placing and keeping our trust in God. Great passage of scripture for you to memorize from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. You know, a few years ago when we did a study in the book of Proverbs, a number of people took up the challenge just to read a chapter of Proverbs a day and to do that every single month. So it's one chapter a day, 30 chapters, takes you right through the whole month. And I'd love to issue that challenge again. I think the moments that we're living in right now would really warrant us having a huge daily dose of divine teaching related to living with wisdom be really helpful for us. And we see the kind of teaching that we're going to get in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, right? Where he says to us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's where it starts. And if you don't start at that point, you're not going to be living with wisdom, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, in other words, having a relationship with God, is understanding. It is what gives us the capacity to live with wisdom. Now, some of you are saying, well, you know, you're using the word trust to keep, to place and to keep our trust in God. And that's what we need in order to, but the Bible's using the word fear. Well, why are you using the word trust? Well, let me unpack that a little bit, and let me use some of Neil's spiritual arithmetic, right? So, you know, when I use the word trust, I think trust is the sum. So trust is equal to two things added together. One is the fear of the Lord that we see used in this passage. And the fear of the Lord is I don't know, it's not the kind of fear where we're in terror and shaken and terrified and paralyzed. It's not the kind of fear that it's talking about. What it's talking about is that we have such a deference, a respectful, reverential deference to God, that we are responsive to His instruction. Right? When you and I don't know what to do, we go to an expert. And because they know more than us, we defer to their input and we respond to it, medically and otherwise, right? And same with our financial experts, right? We defer to their judgment because they know better than us. Well, you just ramp that up to a whole new zip code, and that's what the fear of the Lord is. It's somebody who recognizes that God knows so much more than us. He knows what's good so much clearer than us that we just defer to His judgment. So the trust in the Lord is the fear of the Lord plus, so this is the arithmetic, plus the love of God. And it's not so much just us, our loving God, but also us being confident in the fact that God loves us. So you put it this way, trust in the Lord is a combination of the fact that we know that God knows what's best for us, that's the fear part, and that He loves us, so He wants what's best for us. And when we put those two things together, we have trust in the Lord. We know that God knows what's best for us, and that He wants what's best for us, and because of that, we trust Him and we follow Him. Now, maybe a New Testament way to say the same thing is to have faith in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the expression of the fact that we should have a fear of God, because God takes sin seriously. So doing what's right is good, and doing what's wrong in the eyes of God has its consequences, and so we should defer to Him. The fact that Jesus needed to come into the world to be the Savior of the world and give His life on the cross is a statement to us that we should have a healthy respect. We should defer to God because God takes sin seriously. But He's also the living expression of the fact that God loves us. He just loves us incredibly, so much so that He's willing to have His Son die in our place so that we can experience eternal life through Him. And so trust in the Lord and faith in Christ, those two things go hand in hand. And if you don't have a personal relationship with God that starts through faith in Jesus Christ today, it's my privilege. No matter where you are today, it's my privilege to extend to you that opportunity. Acknowledge the fact that you need a Savior, which means that you acknowledge and accept the fact that you've got sin in your life. Believe that Jesus is that Savior and commit your life to following after Him in faith, and you will have eternal life. So it starts with placing and keeping our trust in God. If we don't start there, there is no way for you and I to live our lives with wisdom. Our lives are not going to be foolproof. And as the world gets crazier and crazier, our lives are just going to get stretched more and more because they aren't centered on the beginning point of wisdom. So we need to place and we need to keep our trust in God. The second truth I want us to see is that it also requires that you and I heed the voice of wisdom. Right? So we started out a little bit by that idea of actions, right? And we need to make the choice to actually believe in and accept and acknowledge God's place in our lives. We need to trust Him. But we also need to recognize that it takes a choice on our part. We need to heed the voice of wisdom. Pastor, a scripture I'd love to point you to is Proverbs chapter 1, right? Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Says, wisdom calls out in the street. She makes her voice heard in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion. So even though the world's going crazy, there's this voice yelling over the top. Be wise. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. How long, inexperienced ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking and you fools hate knowledge? If you respond to my warning, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. There's a lot of stuff in there I could unpack, but I just want to focus on that word respond in verse 23. It takes action. That's where I'm getting this word heed. We need to heed, we need to respond to, we need to react to, we need to follow the voice of wisdom that is crying out to us. It takes a choice to respond. You might use the word repentance here because the whole idea is that of turning, of changing. We're headed in the wrong direction. We're moving towards foolishness. We're moving towards, you know, things that take us away from God. We're moving, you know, towards things that are sinful and are damaging to our spirit. And there's this voice behind us calling, don't follow me. And we don't. Hey, let me just kind of give you this whole progression. The very book, just before the book of Psalms, Proverbs, is the book of Psalms. And you see in chapter 1, Psalm 1, verse 1, you see this progression, if you will, that often we go through as we sink deeper and deeper into foolishness. And the word of wisdom is trying to call us away from it. It says, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, right? So you see this progression. First we go to just walking with them, and then we go to standing with them, and then we go to sitting with them and being comfortable in it, and there's a progression of moving into foolishness, and yet there's this voice that's crying out, don't, how long? And we need to heed. And so we no longer are sitting among the mockers. We're not standing among the fools. We're no longer walking with those who are wicked, but we start moving back to God. We need to respond, heed the voice of wisdom that is crying out to us. And a lot of times we hear that in the Word of God, and yet we don't respond to it. We hear the voice of wisdom crying out to us, don't do it. Don't live that way. Don't think that. And yet, at the same time, we just have a way of kind of pushing it aside and we keep going in that direction. And if you and I are going to be people who foolproof our lives when the world is going crazy, we have to be people who heed the voice of wisdom. The last thing, and this is going to transition us into some other points, is that you and I need to be mindful of. We need to mind who we're walking with, right? One of my favorite passages of scriptures is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. I'm getting those P's interchanged today, right? Psalms and Proverbs, right? I'm getting them. So Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. The one who walks with the wise is going to become wise. And the one who is the companion of fools will suffer harm. You're going to see that sentiment. You're going to hear that voice of wisdom in the book of Proverbs over and over again, calling out to us. If you walk with the wise, you're going to be wise. But if you make yourself the companion, if you're connected with fools, you're going to suffer harm. And this takes us really back to where I started with this whole idea of peer pressure, right? It really speaks to it. We have people in our lives, and people need to be a part of our lives. And peer pressure is going to be there. But we need to understand that there are people in our lives who are good influences. We have some people who are neutral. And there are people who are bad influences in our lives. And I'm not necessarily advocating that we not have any connection with people who are bad influences. I'm just speaking about, and I think the scripture is calling us to make sure that the influence is going from us to them and not them to us, right? That we are a good influence on them rather than them being a bad influence on us, right? And so we need to be mindful of those that we are walking with. You know, and so we are inevitably and necessarily and really as a gift of God going to have relationships with other people. We should. And they're going to influence us and we're going to influence them. But we need to be mindful of those who are a bad influence on us and be on guard and restrict that influence. And we need to pour into those who are a bad influence. So we're a good influence on them. We also need to have a healthy diet of people who are good influences on us. The wise who are walking alongside of us, who are directing us and encouraging us and joining us in becoming people who are wise. We need to be diligent and aware. So here's where I want to transition in our message just a little bit. You know, we understand we got a place and keep our faith in God. We get that. We got to trust God. We know we need to hear the voice of wisdom. And we need to be careful about the people that we're doing this journey with, those who are influencing us to go either in a good direction or in a bad direction. But sometimes it's really not all that easy to tell, right? Sometimes we align ourselves with people we thought were wise, that were going to lead us in the right direction, and they didn't end up doing that. And then other times, we thought people were a bad influence, and we isolated ourselves from them, and they turned out to be somebody who would have really been a great asset to us in our spiritual journey. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, right, between the wise and the fools. Sometimes it's even tough to tell in ourselves. Am I living with wisdom or not, right? I've never met a single person who ever said, you know what, I'm looking for the wackiest person that I can find to follow. I've never met anybody. I want to get out there somebody who's just got no grip on reality, and yet I want to follow them because I know it's going to lead to a train wreck. I've never met anybody like that. So we don't set out to align ourselves with people who are fools. It's sometimes we just can't see it until it's too late. And so I want to offer some counsel from the book of Proverbs in this journey of foolproofing our lives, of giving us some ways to assess, or to, if you will, to discern, are the people that we're connected with wise or foolish? Are they good influences or bad influences? Are we being a good influence or are they being a bad influence? Or are we being a bad influence? And I want to give you five characteristics, and I want to do this pretty quickly because, you know, our time's going to move away from us pretty quickly. But so I want to do this quickly. But here's the first question you need to ask. When you're looking at a relationship and you're assessing whether or not this in-person's impact on you is either good or bad, if you will, in terms of your spiritual health and your movement towards wisdom, the very first thing you need to ask yourself is, do they just consult with God, or do they really obey Him or fear Him? Do they just consult with God? Hey, I want to know what God thinks about this. Or do they actually obey Him and fear Him? A couple of verses for you to note, and these should come up on the screen for you in terms of the references. First one is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. And here's what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. We've been there, right? We've seen that beginning, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. That fear biblically translates to obedience. So if they're not obeying the Lord, then they're not living with wisdom. And obeying the Lord is different than consulting with what God thinks about what I might or might not do. The second one is in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding, which is to say, all right, think about Him in all your ways and He will guide your path. And so it's given us this two kind of options here. Either we can think about and do things that are in alignment with the way God thinks on it, or we can lean on our own understanding instead. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of times I think today, and this is very applicable to the kinds of people who will be listening to this video or watching this video as a part of this service today, is that there's a lot of people who are churchgoers, and they're really more just kind of consulting with God about how they want to live their life rather than fearing God and ready to obey the way God wants them to live their lives, right? And so we consult with God. It happens all the time, right? And we need to be careful about this. Wise people don't just consult with God. They actually hear from God, fear God, obey God, and do what God says. And there's a difference between those two. Listen, all the time, you know, we may want to figure out, you know, we may say, well, what does God say about the way I should manage my finances? And then we take that into consideration, and then we go out and kind of do what we want. That's a foolish person. We do that sometimes with our sexuality, right? What is it God says about this gift of our sexuality and how you and I use it? And then we go out and we do it the way that we want to do it because we've consulted with God. We haven't decided to obey God. And you see this happening over and over and over again. I got to tell you, I experience it at times when I meet with people and offer them spiritual counsel. They'll come to me, they really do want things to change, they want things to be better. I will offer them direct counsel at times from the Word of God, saying, this is what you need to do. You know, when the Bible says you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church, they're like, yeah, I'm not sure I really like that idea. And they don't change. And, you know, at that point in time, you know, they're not there for counsel. They're just there to kind of see what you think, and then they're going to make up their own minds. But some of the reasons they've gotten to that place is that they followed their own minds. And that happens to us spiritually as well. I'm not claiming to be above or below anybody else, but the difference is that wise people don't just want to know what God thinks. They want to do what God says, right? They don't want to just know what He thinks. They want to do what He says. And I got to tell you, a graphic example of this to me in the scripture is King David. Now, King David had some major failures, no doubt about it. But before he became king, you know, he had already been anointed as king. God had already given him specific direction that he was going to be the next king. But the current king, Saul, wanted him dead in the worst of ways. And David had moments where King Saul was literally there for the taking. It was just the two of them in the cave. David had the whole element of surprise attack. Saul was unguarded. He was not prepared. It could have been over just like that. And David refused to touch him. because he was God's anointed. He didn't just consult with God about the way it should be done. He actually obeyed God and followed the way that it should be done. And we need to be around people, and we need to be people who are truly fearing the Lord, not just consulting with him. Secondly, are they teachable, or do they think they're never wrong? Are they teachable, or do they think they're never wrong? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. In other words, the people who are really open to you saying, you know what, you got that wrong, you did it for the wrong reasons, etc. What you believe is wrong. The people who are open to correction, to discipline, they love knowledge. But one who hates correction is stupid. In other words, you know, and we just, because we just want to do it our way. Chapter 12, verse 15. A fool's way is right in his own eyes. So a fool says, hey, I don't need anybody. I know what I think is right. A fool's way is right in his own eyes. But whoever listens to counsel is wise. Chapter 28, verse 26. I'm just piling on the scriptures now, aren't I? The one who trusts in himself is a fool, right? We're supposed to be leaning on God's understanding, not ours, right? The one who trusts in himself is a fool. Chapter 17, verse 10. Rebuke cuts into a perceptive person more than 100 lashes to a fool. In other words, sometimes you can just speak a single word to somebody who's wise, and they say, you know what, I was wrong and I need to change, and they get it just like that. It just cuts into them. But man, a fool, you can't pound it into them. Why? Because they already think, they already know everything, right? They're already in this position, and they think, I'm not wrong, it's somebody else. And a classic example from the scripture, maybe a character you're not very familiar with. His name was King Ahab. And we read about him in 1 Kings 18, and kind of spreads out over a few chapters. You see the same over in some other biblical books. But Ahab was a guy who was off track with God over and over again. But he was convinced that what he was doing was right in his own eyes. So much so that they were actually practicing child sacrifice as a part of worship. They were engaging in cultic prostitution, meaning that actually, you know, engaging in prostitution with people who were associated with the god that he was doing all this stuff that was wrong, right? But when it brought heartache on the people of God, he didn't blame himself. He blamed Elijah, the prophet, who kept telling him, what you're doing is wrong. You're going to pay the price. You're going to pay the price. You're going to pay the price. And then when they paid the price, Ahab blamed Elijah. He didn't blame himself. A lot of us doing that kind of stuff. You know, we run our lives into a wall, and then we blame God for putting the wall there. And God's trying to steer us in the right direction. You know, those who are wise are teachable. And they understand that they make mistakes, and they repent and confess and are forgiven and are changed. You know, and so if you're thinking about the people in your life, if you're thinking about your own self, and you're thinking, all right, am I really ready to obey God, or am I just kind of checking out with what God thinks? And am I really teachable, or do I already know what I'm going to decide even before I ask anybody else? Because I know I'm not wrong. Third thing, do they toy with danger, or do they work to avoid it? Do they toy with danger, or do they work to avoid it? Just a couple scriptures. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5 says, there are thorns and snares on the way of the crooked. In other words, so those who are living a life that's displeasing to God, they're crooked, right? There are thorns and snares on the way that are trying to grab them and to damage them and hurt them. And the one who guards himself stays far from them, right? And so what he's saying, you know, if you're on the right, a lot of us are walking on the path of the crooked, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to get through the snares and the thorns without getting caught. And what the scripture's telling us is if we're wise, what we do is we just don't go on that path at all. We seek to avoid it as much as we can. Another passage of scripture, Proverbs 27, verse 12. A sensible person sees danger and takes cover. The inexperienced, in other words, they just keep going and they're punished. They suffer, right? And so, you know, the sensible person sees it and says, I'm going to back away from this because there's nothing but trouble coming. They respond. They don't want to toy with the danger. They want to work to avoid it. They don't want to be on the path of the crooked and try to avoid all the snares and thorns. They want to say, I want to take a totally different path. You can see this at work in the life of Jesus. You know, in the early part of the Gospels, you see that Jesus experienced an extended period of temptation. But the Scripture tells us that the Spirit had to drive Jesus into the wilderness in order to be tempted. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Spirit showed up and said, hey, Jesus, time for you to be tempted. Oh, good, good, good. I'm so excited about being tempted. Let's go. He didn't want to play with fire, right? He didn't want to get close to it. He wanted to go the other direction. And it's like the Spirit had to drive him out to experience it so that he could fully know the humanity that you and I are living out. But what you see is that Jesus' desire, even though he had all the strength to resist the temptation, is he didn't want to play with fire. He didn't want to see how close he could get to the candle before he got burned. And if you want to know if somebody's living with wisdom, right, is just ask themselves, are they steering clear of the things that can trip them up spiritually? Or are they trying to see if they can actually jump over that which is going to trip them and get away with it? And we see that happening a lot. You know, there are moments of us where we're trying to play with fire. So like, how bad can it be? You know, what damage is it going to do? We just think we can manage sin at a tolerable level in our lives, and before you know it, we land up getting wrecked. And I got to tell you again, I've never sat in my office and talked to an individual whose marriage has fallen apart because they've done something really stupid, and they've said, you know, this is what I set out to do. They've never done that. They always say, you know, well, at first it was this, and then it was that, and then it was this, and then, and next thing you know, as you connect all the dots, as they played with fire along the way, they got to a place where they got burned. And Jesus, he doesn't want to get burned. He's trying to stay away from it. And I got to tell you, if you want to look at yourself and see if you're living with wisdom, or if you want to think about the companions that you're walking with, that you're allowing to be a real influence in your life, you need to be asking yourself the question, right? Are they toying with danger? Or are they really committed to avoiding it at all costs? A couple more, and these may be ways of saying the same thing differently, and I'm hoping if that's the case, that these are insightful for you, but here's the point. Says, do they simply just do what feels right, or do they do what they know is right in God's eyes? Do they simply do what feels right, or are they committed to doing what is right in God's eyes? And we need to look at ourselves that way. We can look at other people. The wise ones who are saying, I'm going to do what's right in God's eyes, even if it isn't popular, even if I don't like it. But we live in a time when many people want to live their lives by what feels right. What feels right. Passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. It says, even zeal without knowledge is not good. Right? Even zeal without knowledge is not good. It says, you know, we know lots of people who are passionate. They're sincere, they're committed, they're sacrificial, but if that's not mixed with knowledge, knowing what's right in the eyes of God, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're headed in the right direction, right? So our zeal, our passion, what feels right, what stirs us, needs to be connected with what is right in the eyes of God. Another passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25 says, don't make friends with an angry person, and don't be a companion of a hot-tempered one, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. You know, the whole idea here is that the person who just feels anger, that's what they're feeling, so it's right, and then they express it and they lash out. And so, and if we hang around with people like that, those are the ones who are influencing us. We're going to land up doing stuff that's stupid because it's going to feel right because we're mad about it or we're excited about it or we're sad, all that kind of stuff. And we're going to land up doing it, but we're not going to be filtering it by what's right in the eyes of God. And so one of the ways to ask ourselves, am I being a good influence? or the people that are impacting me being a good influence in my life, is to ask ourselves a question: are they doing just what feels right, or are they committed to really doing what's right in the eyes of God? One last point. Do they accept responsibility for what they've done, or just do they just blame other people or blame other things? Do they accept responsibility for what they've done, or do they just blame other people or other things? Chapter 14, verse 9 says, fools make fun of guilt. Right? You know, yes, you shouldn't feel bad about that. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and they seek reconciliation with God and with others, right? In other words, they say, you know, I've made a mistake and I want to make it right. Whereas a fool just says, hey, that's their problem. It's not mine. They don't accept responsibility. I love this next one. Chapter 19, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. A fool's own foolishness leads him astray, yet his own heart rages against God. And what this whole thing is saying is that a fool wants to live their life exactly the way they want to live it, and then they want to blame God for the consequences. That's what he's saying. I don't accept, you know, I'm living my life the way I want to, right? A fool's own foolishness leads him astray. It's his fault, yet that he wants to turn around and blame God for the consequences. So his heart rages against him. He doesn't accept his own responsibility. He wants to blame something or someone else. And sometimes that person is even God. You know, you can see that again in the life of King Saul that I mentioned just a moment ago with King David. You know, Saul had a couple of moments where he had major spiritual failures and he didn't want to embrace responsibility. And there was one time he built an offer to sacrifice, something he had been told specifically not to do because that was the prophet Samuel's role. And Saul did it anyways. And he said, well, everybody was leaving. I had no choice. So he's blaming his circumstances rather than taking responsibility for himself. There was a time that God gave him a great victory, which was an act of judgment over those who had terrorized the people of God as they were moving into the promised land. And God said, all of this is to be given to me as an act of judgment. It's their way of paying the price for their sin, for attacking my people. And yet they brought back some of the best, right? And so it was the people, they made me do this. He didn't want to take responsibility for his own actions, right? And wise people say, you know what? That was me. I got it wrong. I want to fix it. I want to fix my relationship with God. They're not pointing the finger at everybody else, right? Hey, listen, we live in a challenging time. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody is wound up or wound down because of what's going on around us. And it's a crazy time. It is a crazy, crazy time. This is a great time for we as the people of God to show up and to live with wisdom, to be people who foolproof our lives, even when the world's going crazy. And we can do that by placing our faith in God and keeping it there, right? Placing our faith in God and keeping it there, heeding the voice of God, heeding the voice of wisdom, and making sure that we are being good influences and that we are surrounded and being impacted by good influences, people who are wise in our own lives. You know, I want to close with just a final scripture. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, and this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, he issues us a challenge, and I just want to echo that to us today. He says, enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. Let me modify that a little. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to foolishness. And there are many who enter through it. And my invitation to you today is to enter by the narrow gate into the way of wisdom that comes from placing and keeping your faith in God, heeding the voice of wisdom, and being surrounded and being a person who is a companion of wisdom for others. And if we'll do those things, we'll enter by the narrow gate. We'll foolproof our lives. We'll be wise even when the world's going crazy. and God will use us as the light of the world. God bless. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. God, thank you for the privilege of being in your word today. Again, there's lots here for us to absorb. Not something we're going to do in our own human spirit. But Father, I pray that your own spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, will continue to shape and to teach and to guide us as you instruct us from your word. Let us be people who are wise, not in our own eyes, but in your eyes. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless and have a great week.